Hello and welcome to ESPN Quick Info Stump Mike. I'm Karthik Iyer and this is the episode after day two of the World Test Championship Final. The first day where we've actually had some cricket. With me today to discuss what happened throughout the day, a stop-start day to say the least, is firstly Shamya Das Gupta. Shamya, how are you doing?
All right, not too bad. Hope for a bit more cricket.
Don't we all. Along with Shamya today is a person who was on Ball by Ball comms for the WTC final, Alan Gardner. Alan, I have a question for you. When you're doing Ball by Ball commentary, is it harder to say do comms when spinners are bowling, say a Jadeja and an Ashwin, or is it harder to play this waiting game that we've had to do for a lot of today?
what a choice to make. I think it's harder when there are two spinners on because the fingers just struggle to keep up. When it's this sort of drip by drip, as we like to call it, I'm quite used to that. You know, doing a lot of my coverage of England matches, and obviously the weather that comes with that. So quite used to sort of riffing along in the dark about nonsense. Stoppages and stuff like that. So far prefer that to trying to keep up with two Jadus.
So on that subject, we get a lot of comments on our Twitter, and I'm sure you get it in your Ball by Ball feedback as well. A lot of our viewers and listeners ask us why they don't take our comments in. Now, Alan Gardner, the Ball by Ball commentator, what is your criteria for selecting a comment that you will publish?
Without giving away trade secrets, but often if people have used my first name, actually, that will it's a bit more conversational, and that's a good starting place. But I like either a decent insightful comment or one that's sort of totally inane or like at least an attempt to make a joke or something like that. We get a lot of very kind of banal kind of what's the weather like, when's the toss and things like that, but something very left field, I'll always keep an eye out for that stuff.
So to use your first name, now that's interesting because I don't think apart from this podcast do I ever call you Alan. It's always Gardner, which is why probably I don't get responses too often. Shamya, we did have some cricket today, unlike yesterday, and it was New Zealand who won the toss and they elected to bowl. There was no surprise really in that decision, but let's take a step back to their team selection. Overcast skies, cloudy environment. I mean, they're going in with four seamers. There was no surprise even in the fact that Ajaz Patel was left out, was there?
Yeah, you think so. I mean, with De Grandhomme sort of around to bowl a few overs and take the load away from the four main pacers, it seems a fair call. I think it wasn't so much a matter of team selection on their part. I think it's fine that they don't have a frontline spinner, and I think India have one too many, perhaps. But it's also a function of, how well the Indian spinners do bat and how well or not the New Zealand frontline spinner bats. I think that might have had a sort of say in the way that went. But more than that, I think New Zealand, the bowlers, didn't do themselves any great favors today. You win the toss, you bowl first. In these conditions, where the ball was moving a mile in the air, and your opponents end the day after 65 overs on 146 for three. No major catches dropped. It's not like chances went, were missed. That's what makes me, a little more feel bad, perhaps, about New Zealand, or perhaps critical about them. That I don't think they did well enough after having won what was a very, very good toss to win. And more than team selection, I think that's what they might be a bit more unhappy about.
Yeah, on this occasion, Alan, I think it's fair to be a bit critical. I mean, I remember that sometimes they say that the first over of the match sets the trend, and we have seen that a lot of famous examples, particularly in the Ashes as well. And here, when Saudi came on, I was excited. I was like, at least we're going to get a huge appeal, if not a wicket, in the first over. And those first four balls were pretty poor by his standards, especially after coming off an excellent test match versus England.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one that in the obviously Southey was then rested for the second test of the series against England, which makes sense in the era we live in of sort of rest and rotation and informed player management and all that sort of thing. But then there's something to be said equally about players and fast bowlers, particularly kind of getting overs under the belt, getting in that groove, and not having to start fresh and you know, find their radar, particularly in well, in English conditions where the Duke's ball is going to do plenty throughout the day, you think. And actually, sometimes the new ball, it takes a little while to start swinging. But if you're sort of set up, and New Zealand's attack are very much kind of, they're going to hammer their lines and lengths, and they're going to not give anything away. They don't have express pace and that sort of thing. You expect them to be really tight. But whether it was, you know, the excitement of a final, they've won the toss, they've got what they wanted there, they've got the Duke's ball in hand, you've got leaden skies, you've got everything supposedly that's going to set up for a nice juicy morning of bowling first at India, and they kind of blew it, I suppose. It wasn't a disaster, but they were a little bit either side of the wicket. I don't think they bowled a maiden until the 12th over, and that kind of summed up the first hour or so. And then they did tighten up. They bowled better as the day went on. And there were times, I think, when I'd give great credit to India here, actually. I thought they batted terrifically, even though Rohit and Shubman Gill didn't go on and, you know, convert starts. They built that platform. And then Kohli was as intensely Kohli as he could ever be. But you know, New Zealand were bowling well throughout the day, but they just weren't getting rewards. And that's why, yeah, you'll look at the scorecard and think, well, three down, India will be very happy with that. I mean, Southee came back later and bowled one over where he could have got four wickets. You know, he bowled the same ball almost, or variations on a theme that were too good for Kohli, I think twice to Rahane. But he, yeah, finishes the day without a wicket. And New Zealand sort of scratching their heads, given, yeah, that they've selected that team and they've got what they needed, really, which is to win the toss. They don't want to be bowling last without a spinner. If it is going to sort of break up a bit, you want to kind of get your retaliation in early. But that hasn't really come off.
Yeah, going back to the point about New Zealand not selecting a spinner, Shamya, Shane Warne tweets, very disappointed in New Zealand not to be playing a spinner in the WTC final, as this wicket is going to spin big with huge footmarks developing already. Remember, if it seems, it will spin. India make anything more than 275, 300 and this match is done. But that's not the funny part. The funny part is the response, and I do not know if you've seen this, by a Twitter user, and I'm not going to name that person because I don't want to encourage a pylon. But the first sentence of his reply, Shamya, says, "Shane, do you understand how spin works?"
Heavens. I don't know what to say about that. But yeah, I mean, I suppose Shane Warne does know a little bit about spin and knows a little bit about Hampshire as well. So that aside, I suppose it's common wisdom to have a spinner, especially if your plan A is to bowl, is to bat last. In these circumstances, you're facing Ashwin and Jadeja last, giving away too many. But that, again, it goes back to the non-selection is probably not the big issue. The issue, you know, Alan just mentioned that one over Southee bowled, where he could have had Kohli and Rahane out twice each, was the one over where every ball didn't swing a mile. You know, where he sort of held his line, got it just around off stump, because far too often, all the bowlers, especially the right-armers, when they bowled, the batsman could just leave them because the ball, you know, it was just going to be swinging away. I'm not an expert. I probably don't understand this as much as Alan or some of the other commentators on our site, but it seemed like they were just not doing enough to attack the stumps. If today, after play started, India had been 120 all out, no one would perhaps have blamed India much. It would have been all right in these circumstances for India to be bowled out for 120. These are conditions much more favored to New Zealand than to India. It goes back to that. I don't think they attacked the stumps enough. I don't think they tried to pick wickets enough. I'm not saying they didn't try. They obviously didn't do the right things. That must have been their intention. But so it is. I mean, stop-start day, irritating sort of day, especially the latter half of it. But I think New Zealand have put themselves in a situation where at 146 for three, India have a very realistic chance of getting close to 300. And from what we have seen of them over the past few years, I don't expect Bumrah, Shami, Ishant Sharma to do what Saudi bowled Jameson, Gronholm, Wagner, who didn't bowl as much as I thought he would, what they did. Both excellent sets of bowling, both excellent bowling attacks, but I somehow expect Sharma, Shami and Bumrah to be better. Compared to this, maybe not overall, but compared to the first half of today, the first hour and a half of today.
Yeah, about the first hour today, and Alan, I'll come to you, but about the first hour today, Cricketing View, at Cricketing View on Twitter, who is Karthik Ayyadate, who writes for the website as well, he tweeted, New Zealand have bowled 168 balls in the opening session of the final. 13 of those only were at the stumps.
Hmm.
That's not many.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a crude measure, isn't it, of how teams are attempting to go about their business and take wickets. But like Neil Wagner, one of the most compelling phases of play, and whenever Neil Wagner bowls, he's not often attempting to hit the stumps so much as the top of your forehead. And that still often works. Arguably, he bought the wicket of Pujara with bombing him for a few overs, hit him on the grill, and then when Bolt came back and swung one that was going to hit the stumps, Pujara was the feet weren't moving enough. They didn't bowl up to the standards we expect them, and I think to agree with Shamia there, the closer India get to 300, the more you think, well, the game is theirs to lose. I think the test between these two teams, what, a year or two back, or 18 months ago, on that tour, they were very low scoring, weren't they? There was a lot of middle orders being blasted out and scrapping for runs, so this will look an imposing score, but equally it might work in New Zealand's favour that they've had the chance to regroup, and tomorrow they could easily come back and knock India over for less than 250. Just on the spinner thing, I can see where their thinking is there. And as much as I don't want to disagree with Shane Warne, I think he does like to troll people on this subject. I think New Zealand often play without a spinner. Mitch Santner isn't a big wicket taker and hasn't played much in the last 2 years. Obviously, Ajaz Patel was preferred for the 15 here, but hasn't played a great deal of Test cricket either. He looked good at Edgbaston when called upon. But the extra batting they get from playing, tool rounders in de Grandhomme and Jameson makes up for added strength there.
But there's something interesting that you said there, Alan, and this is a good segue into maybe there are some positives New Zealand can take, because their two strike bowlers, especially Tim Southee, was nowhere near his best. But still, they managed to get three, because there was a point where they could have maybe had a few more as well, like you mentioned. Does that count in their favour that the strength in depth, while they don't have it in the spin department, even someone like a Colin de Grandhomme is dangerous on this surface?
Yeah, I think they'll keep coming. I mean, de Grandhomme bowled kind of this metronomic spell to Kohli after lunch, where it was kind of 19 or 20 dot balls in a row. And I think de Grandhomme's got Kohli a couple of times before. Jameson, throughout the day, 14 overs, 14 runs conceded, I think. So there are no issues there. Neil Wagner will run through brick walls. They'll keep coming back. And yeah, if they took sort of 3 for 26 after that poor start, and if they'd that over, say that Southee kind of did everything but take a wicket. If they'd knocked Kohli out there, if they'd chipped out another wicket, and that's a big wicket, and India are sort of 140 for four at the end of the day, you're still thinking, well, New Zealand have done okay here. You look at all the kind of combination of conditions and selection and everything, and think, well, India could have been skittled, and New Zealand would have loved that, obviously. But this is the ultimate test. This is going to be a hard fought match every inch of the way. So let's not get too far ahead of ourselves in predicting that New Zealand are out of it.
Yeah, that middle session, Shamia, that Alan alluded to, when Kohli and Pujara were at the crease, runs weren't coming at all. That was some engrossing test cricket.
Oh, absolutely. No, the whole day has been engrossing, you know. I mean, whenever we've had action, even when we had these stops and starts were engrossing because, you know, I was kind of wondering, at times it looked like Kohli and Rahane didn't want to come back. And you can understand that, you know, towards the end. You can understand that because, you know, of course, the bowlers are also affected in terms of rhythm and everything else. But it's, you know, for the batsman, it's one mistake. The bowlers can take their time to settle in. All of it was very engrossing. And the first half and the second bit, when hardly any runs were being scored, were fantastic. And that's what, you know, some of us who continue to stupidly go on about test cricket, that's really what it's about. It's, and, you know, one of my pet sort of things that, you know, the part I hate about a reserve day is that there can't be a draw. I love draws. But anyway, that's completely beside the point.
I'll tell you what, Shyam. Yeah, you could get one here. And we've had an excellent one between India and England right now, actually, just
absolutely.
When we're recording.
Absolutely.
They called stumps where it was a brilliant rearguard effort. Listener, we're going to have a podcast on that. This is not the amount
Please,
that we're
we
covering
should.
It. But that'll probably be done once the experts who have watched the entire game are a bit freer after all the post-match pressers and all. Now, you mentioned the on-off nature, Shamya, and you said you found it engrossing. Personally, for me, I'm not a big fan of this on-off way that especially the final session happened, maybe because it reminds me of a relationship from college. But I've always get taken away from the action. You know, I was talking to Alan just before we came, we started recording, and I was telling him that this match effectively ended about an hour and a half ago, and then we were waiting for stumps. While we were waiting, my attention switched to the match at Bristol and to the Euros that were going on as well. And I kind of had forgotten what happened during the day, despite the fact that the cricket was so good when it did happen.
No, you know, obviously the gaps are not engrossing. I didn't mean that, you know, the stops are particularly engrossing, but obviously they're not at all. But how the teams or the players react to the restarts is what I meant. This is the WTC final. It's winner takes all. You know, it's a knockout clash in that sense. And here are two batters up against it, you know, conditions against them. Each time there's a stop, it also means more rain, more moisture, more cloud cover, blah, 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 tougher conditions, you'd think. And they come out, and it doesn't matter that they're Indians, really. I mean, it could have been the other way. But it's fascinating to see how they respond. And especially in that last phase of play, I thought, again, you know, Alan, I know what you said earlier, but again, I thought in those conditions with the batters coming out again and again, and Kohli clearly not happy to do that, I thought there was an opportunity there for New Zealand to get that fourth wicket or maybe even a fifth. And again, I think it's a chance missed. But again, I won't go on about it. The result might come and bite me later. But you know what I mean, Karthik. Just that. You know, it's about a lot about what how people react to situations, and which is such a great part of Test cricket. And that part was interesting. It was obviously irritating, absolutely irritating, annoying. The fact that we can't just call it off. You know, you have a sixth day. What's the point of coming out when you know it's going to be just 15 minutes and then you have to go back out again? I know there are rules and you're not doing it to, you know, for the spectators specifically. You know, you can't just go on playing in the dark because the spectators want it. But, you know, what's the point really? It's not helping much. But yeah, but there's the other side of it, which is potentially very fascinating.
Well, we get into a sort of sub-Beckettian farce of kind of waiting for the light meter and that sort of thing. We had this a lot last summer as well, stoppages at
the
Aegeus
Bowl. And the summers before that.
Again, Beckettian in that all of our lives are like this. And that is why Test cricket is like life. But it did take the edge off some of the good stuff from earlier.
But Alan, full credit then to Kohli and Rahane because they had to come out twice or was it thrice, and they stuck it out there. They're going to come back tomorrow. Hopefully, it's a dry day. It's a sunny day.
Hopefully. I can't guarantee that, but they did really well. I think that there was an element of New Zealand not quite hitting the right areas in that final passage again. particularly after the way that keep going back to that sell the over, but if every over that he'd bowled or that hit the other seamers at Williamson's disposal had hit those sort of lines and lengths regularly, yeah, I don't think India would have been going in three down. But yeah, immense credit. They did have to keep sort of refocusing. Those interruptions never help. And it tells you what, the quality of batting that India have, but the experience of playing over here as well. I think we all know about Kohli's nightmare tour in 2014, I think it was. But he showed he learnt from that 4 years later, and obviously India have another five test series this summer. He's looking very good again.
Yeah, indeed he is. I think we've covered most of the day, Shamya, but I want to go back to the very start and to mention the India openers, Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill. I thought they did a tremendous job. I don't think anybody expected this. I know we joke a lot about Rohit Sharma in swinging conditions.
Oh, that's you. I've never joked about him.
I've joked a lot about Rohit Sharma in swinging conditions, and he's basically putting me and a lot of people like me in our place.
Yeah, I mean, I was kidding, obviously, but I haven't joked about Rohit Sharma in swinging conditions simply because I haven't seen him much in them. You know, he's obviously an outstanding batter at the top of the order in Test cricket in India, which is completely different. But yeah, there will be question marks, and there will always be question marks till he goes out and shows what he can do or cannot do. I thought, again, to go back to, repeating what I've said earlier, is that in these conditions, losing the toss up against Bolt and Saudi and Wagner and Jameson, it was brilliant. Both of them, stroke players. You sort of want a non-Sehwagian opener at the top, right? You'd ideally want a Tom Latham and Dimuth Karunaratne or whoever, you know, or Chideshwar Pujara or Sunil Gavaskar and Akash Chopra opening and not Sehwag and Rohit Sharma. But both Gill and Sharma are stroke players. And I thought they did really well. There were a couple of slips. Thankfully, not to hand. I thought Gill showed that he had thought about his game in stepping out, not just standing outside the crease, almost stepping out to the fast bowlers, even to defend. And they did well. They did really, really well. I think that was the period that sort of set it up for or gave confidence to the Kohlis and Rahanes to just go out and do what they can do. Because at some level, I'm sure there's the trust factor. Everyone knows what... I'm sure Kohli and Rahane and the team trust Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill a bit more than maybe you and I do. But that must have given them the confidence that there are runs to be had here, or at least it's not impossible to bat out time if you can leave the right balls. And most of the balls the New Zealanders bowled could be left.
Yeah, you're right, Alan. I thought this was more of an important innings for Shubman Gill. You saw him a lot when England came to India, of course. He didn't have the best of series with the bat, despite India's comprehensive win. But here he spent almost 2 hours at the crease. He got those 28 runs. That will prove crucial come this test match, the second innings of this, and the five to follow.
Yeah, I mean, he looked very confident. He didn't have the best of series when England were in India. I think we've all heard about his exploits in Australia, and we're expecting great things. I thought Rohit did a great job at the other end of just taking control and for all his inexperience, perhaps in opening the batting here, and while it was one of those kind of it's going to be those innings where people will look back and say, "Oh, 34, okay." So I think Sambit on our WhatsApp group called it, one of the greatest 34s you'll ever see. But it was a sparkling innings. In the grand scheme of things, his average away from home, I think, rose from 27.00 to 27.19. So, small margins. But he seemed to provide a sort of calming influence. Gill got going with, I think, a pull through mid-wicket was the first boundary.
What a shot that was, yeah.
And yeah, exactly. Sort of just smoke coming off it. It will be that sort of innings that hopefully settles him down for not just this test, but yeah, the tour to come.
Okay, I didn't know whether to go here, but considering we just have a couple of minutes more, I'm going to Shamya. Yeah. This is a stat. I'm not sure of this number, but I want to ask you, when will Virat Kohli and now Cheteshwar Pujara score their next test hundreds. Pujara, Kohli, we know that he hasn't scored one for a while. I think it's 45 innings. Pujara, I noticed, is 29 innings. And he got out today as well, so it's not going to happen. It may happen in the second innings, of course. But is that a slight cause for concern?
No. No.
You're not sure?
No, I'm quite sure it's not. I'm just trying to add to it, which I can't find the words for. What Kohli's done already, if he scores 20 more and India get to 300, or, well, Pujara hasn't contributed much, but he took away a lot of balls at a crucial time when 2 wickets had fallen. These are very, very important, you know. I mean, Kohli's... A century is just that. It's just a number. I mean...
Yeah,
I know I'm sounding like a 45-year-old cricketer not retiring, and saying, you know, age is just a number. But it is, really. I mean, it's about what helps the team. And you bat out a crucial session, not score any runs. That's as good as scoring 80 runs in that session and whatever. You know what I mean. A century will come. These are very good batters, and century will come sooner or later. Maybe in this test, maybe not in this test. I mean, it's really a bowler's test. But maybe later in the season when India are in England playing those games. But more and more, especially when you don't play in India, test inning scores are more in the 250, 300, 350 region. And there aren't too many hundreds to be fitted in there. I'm just saying that a crucial 70 is much more important. I mean, 100 can be more important to the player, perhaps. But... to the team, that crucial 70 is much more important.
He's bound to get a 100 or two in the England series, so don't worry.
I think the Indian who came away with the biggest credit from today was Dinesh Karthik somehow. Alan, tell us, what has he done in England that maybe some of us here don't see? I must confess, I'm a big DK fan, and that's why I had to bring this in.
he is quite a find for the commentary side of things. I mean, he was on Sky during the England tour earlier this year. He looks $1 million. That's the first thing to say.
That helps. Yeah,
he's very sharp, very snappy dresser. But he's just a breath of fresh air, I suppose, to fall back on a cliche. But he's very interested and interesting. He talks with insight about what he knows. He has a little bit of banter. He sort of slips straight into it. I'm very glad to have him over here. I think he'll be here for the whole summer in England with doing some on the 100 and obviously the India tour to come. So, yeah, very, very pleased to see DK strutting his stuff.
Shamil, Alan, one thing we do on these daily podcasts after the end of a day of Test cricket is quickly, Shamil, we'll start with you, your predictions for tomorrow.
Rain.
All right, I don't think we need much more. Alan, do you have any forecast in front of you that may tell Shamya that he's wrong or tell me that Shamya's wrong?
I don't think tomorrow is quite as bad. If we're recording this in 24 hours time, yes, I think Monday is gonna be swamped again. Tomorrow, I think we should be good for another sort of 60, 65 overs. And I'm gonna go New Zealand's comeback strongly. We're going 250 all out, and we've got a game on.
I agree, Karthik. You know, I don't think New Zealand. I think New Zealand's bowling will get much, much better tomorrow. 250, 260, 270, yeah, thereabouts. And whatever time is left, I expect the Indian bowlers to do well too. So Alan knows about the weather much more than I do, but I do see day four then becoming a bit of a moving day. And things getting quite interesting, weather willing.
Excellent. Shamya and Alan, thank you both for joining us on ESPN Cricket Four Stump. Mike, we'll chat with you in a few days' time.
Thank you.
Cheers.